This is WWER 88.1 Colonial Beach Community Radio. And I'm your host, Eric, with another Talk of the Town. And I am here with Chris Lumpkin. Chris, how you doing?
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for being on Talk of the Town.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Chris. Well, we're standing out here on
North Irving Avenue.
Everybody has a Colonial Beach story. What's yours?
Both of my parents were born here.
Oh, wow.
And I was, well, not technically born here like most Colonial Beach kids. Mary Washington Hospital.
Okay, Pittsburgh.
But so we lived here until I was three. Then my parents divorced. My mom and I moved to Fredericksburg, and I grew up in that area. But having family here, we always came back. I guess you could call me a comeback here.
Okay, all right. So how was a childhood in Fredericksburg?
It was great. I mostly grew up in the country in White Oak in Stafford County.
Okay.
Typical Gen X childhood, right? I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a computer.
Those were the days, right?
Yeah, right. I spent a lot of time playing in the woods, running through the fields.
Yeah, riding a bike.
Yep.
Yeah, I know those days too. Okay, great. How did it happen that here we are on North Irving? And we're at the employee entrance to Colonial Beach Brewing. How did this occur?
Well, in 2017, my mom and stepdad and a partner started Colonial Beach Brewing after a lot of work and effort and getting town ordinances and zoning changed so that we could have a brewery in Colonial Beach.
What inspired them to have a brewery?
It was Ted's dream. You know, my dad, he when he retired from Dahlgren, he was an engineer there for 43 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he became passionate about beer and wasn't a brewer himself, but his partner was. They put in the effort. They secured the lease for the place we're about to walk into and started doing a bunch of work to get it ready, getting equipment in. I moved back here in 2019. I'd lived in D.C. a good part of my career.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
So, you know, I went to school at VCU. I got, you know, started working in IT early 2000s and moved to D.C. for a couple of years doing some consulting work. But then I got a job where I could work remote and I hightailed it back home here.
And where did you live in D.C.?
I lived in Southeast and Eastern Market.
Okay, so I lived at 8th and G Street Southeast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Navy Yard.
Not too far. Yeah, right. Navy Yard.
And before that, lived at 10th Street, Lincoln Park.
Yeah, I absolutely love the convenience and living like right there by the Metro stop and the Trader Joe's and all that.
Yes, yes.
And I was right by Barracks Row.
We must have run into each other.
Yeah.
We had to.
Yeah. But
what a small world.
But I realized after my folks opened the brewery, I come down here to visit a couple of times.
Sure.
And I realized when I crossed that bridge coming here, there was a tension that left me that I didn't know was there.
Oh, you felt in your shoulders and your...
Living in a city, you really have to watch your back.
Yes.
You have to have situational awareness at all times.
That's true.
Then I moved here and stopped locking my doors and all that
right.
stuff.
Right. I lived in D.C. for 20-something years.
Waving to everybody.
Yeah. We're both former D.C. people. You have a long history. I don't. I moved here about 2 years ago. Well, a year and a half ago now. But you're right. Here it's easy. Here everybody knows everybody. Everybody waves. People walk down the street smiling. And you don't have to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah, small town
around
life.
Eastern Market Metro.
Small town life. And in retrospect, I'm really glad that I moved back here before COVID hit, because I think that experience, while it wasn't ideal for any of us, right?
Right.
Being here in a really connected community, I feel like was a better place to be.
And so, and then the brewery starts, your father, partners involved in it. It begins.
It begins.
You come visit.
I come visit. After a while, they bought out the partner. You know, as my folks were getting a little older and they were really, you know, getting tired of running things here.
Yeah, of course.
So my partner, Jen, and I took it over last year.
Oh, so they said, we're a little older, we'll step away and
then
you do it. Yeah,
they were prepared to sell it. And, you know, we looked at, you know, an offer that was on the table. And, you know, my folks were kind of like, hey, last chance. Do you want
it or not?
Do you want to take over the brewery?
Right.
Which I had vehemently denied in previous years.
Oh, why?
Well, you know, at the time, I was employed full time.
Sure.
And I just didn't have time in my schedule where I wanted to do this.
Salary, health benefits, vision.
Right. I had all that. And, you know, this has never been exactly a gold mine.
Okay.
You know, running a small business in a seasonal town is
it's
challenging.
Yes, it is.
So I wasn't up for the challenge when they first approached me. But last year, a lot of things had changed. I got laid off from my last job in December 2023.
Oh.
And I had some money saved up. So I said, you know, I think in the time that I have before I go back to work,
yes,
I could turn this around. You know, Jen, my partner, and I could turn this around and get it stood up and add some, you know, kind of diversify and add some things to the menu here.
Okay.
And, you know, hire some staff, and then I'll be able to go back to work. And that hasn't happened.
That was the plan. Okay. Okay. All right. So the plan was come get it on its feet, maybe sublease it, sell it, whatever, and then go back to work. Make some money while you do it.
Yeah.
But here you are still.
Yeah. I don't know about sell it. We don't really have any plans.
Okay.
In that direction. But yeah, just to turn it around, perhaps turn it over to other management.
Oh, I see. And then charge them.
Hire a general manager.
Oh,
We split that responsibility between us now.
I see. Okay. Okay. Now we know. All right. So here we are. Colonial Beach Brewery. We have a lot of these look like kegs out here.
Yeah. So when this place opened, this space.
Gosh, this must be 15, 16 kegs.
Yep. Yep. So we're storing kegs out here now. It looks much more industrial than it did when they opened. This was a customer service area.
We're standing right now outside, but this was inside at one time?
It wasn't inside, but we had tables out here.
Oh.
For customers to sit because this was the only. This and that little inside area we're about to enter were the only places available.
All right. I love history. I love Colonial Beach history. Okay. So you're saying that we're standing out in the back alley, essentially. But this used to be a vibrant patio of people having fun.
Yep.
Oh, my word. All right. Let's go inside. Thank you. Okay. So, okay. We're going inside. Oh, I see the big brewery happening. We're in a large room. Gosh, what's it? How long is this? 40 feet? 50 feet?
Probably 35, 40 feet.
35, 40 feet, and it's pretty wide. What do we have here?
So you can see from the marks on the floor that they're using.
These marks?
Yep.
Okay, I see a large rectangle.
Yep, so we used to have a bar sitting right here where we are. I know this looks very industrial now. We have the kegs stacked out back.
Sure.
We have a pallet of grain sitting here in what used to be a customer service area.
Okay, so this is for beer making.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. You have an office here. But you're set. Okay, so the bar used to be here.
Yes.
And people would come in here, this little spot, and then go out back outside and sit.
Yep. I think the
this was tiny.
I think the occupancy was like 28.
Oh, so this was tiny.
Although I've heard rumors there have been more than 28 here.
Okay. Okay. So this, at one time, this was pretty tiny.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Okay.
And all the stuff that you see in here now was shoved into the back room down at the other end, which is now our kitchen. So we had to eject all that stuff out to build out the kitchen.
Okay. So we'll get to that kitchen in a moment. We are now, you have a big sign beer. So I guess that announces we're walking into.
You'll see we've got some decorations up in here back from when customers used to come in and sit that I haven't really rehomed or.
Oh, okay. So some of this is left over from the old days.
Yep. You can see the old, we haven't updated that tap list on that chalkboard in years.
Oh, so this was the beer they were making back in the day.
This is historical.
Yep. Oh, it's historical.
From I think 2 years ago is the last time anybody updated that.
So we have an Irish, an IPA, a stout. We have a hot.
Smoking hot blonde.
Yes, a habanero. Oh, and wow. Okay.
And a bourbon stout, 7%.
A bourbon, a double Bock. Okay, so you were serious back then, too.
Yep.
Okay. All right, and then you had a seltzer over there. They had seltzer before seltzer was cool.
I mean, back then, we were just serving craft beer. And not everyone likes beer. So
that's true.
Having a seltzer on was a necessity for us.
Okay, so I know that I don't know much about beer making. You have to explain it all to me. But here I'm looking at, what am I looking at? 25, 30 huge sacks, 25 kilograms each of wheat.
Yep, that is grain. It's malt that we use in the brewing process.
And it's made in Germany.
A lot of it is, not all.
Not all of it? Okay, so you're actually using German wheat to make German beer.
Yep, in many cases.
Oh my, this is official stuff. All right, so
if you want to know a lot more about brewing, you're going to have to talk to this guy over here.
Okay, I'm walking into, I see gauges, I see switches, I see kegs, I see huge stainless steel tanks. And I'm here now with Thomas. Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Hey, thank you for appearing on Talk of the Town.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. So Thomas, what? You're the brewer here?
I am.
How long have you worked here?
Cumulatively, probably about 2 years.
So you're not new?
No.
Okay. I don't know how this works. Could you and Chris walk me through this? What?
We can. And I do.
Oh, these are huge. So you have some large stainless steel tanks, and then you have absolutely huge stainless steel tanks.
And they're okay. All the same size inside.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
But they are just the fermenters. So this is where all the magic happens. I let the yeast do its work and make alcohol.
Okay. Well, that's later, isn't it?
It is.
So what do we? Where do we start?
I'd like to refer you up to the chart here.
Oh, there's a chart on the wall.
Diagram.
Oh, so water goes in. So where's the water go in?
So initially, the water starts here.
Okay, so another huge stainless steel tank.
It's only 125 gallons.
125 gallons. Okay, well, looks big to me. And what does the water do?
In here, it just gets heated up, and then I'll move it over to here, and then I'll stir in my crushed up grains.
Why does the sign say hot liquor?
It's a brewer's term for essentially hot water.
So it's water, you heat up the water, and then at that point in the brewing process, we call it hot liquor.
Correct.
Okay, I never knew that before. Hey, I'm learning something new. So the hot water or hot liquor goes into
the mash tun.
What's mash?
Mash is when we just stir in our grains, mix them in, make essentially like a thick bowl of oatmeal in here.
So this is only grains?
Grains and hot water, well, hot liquor, yes.
Hot liquor and grains makes mash.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, grains get milled.
The grains get milled first.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then
we do our own milling. Some breweries use pre-milled grain, but we do all the milling here.
So you mill here on site.
Yep.
You put the milled grain, you put the hot water or hot liquor in that, and it becomes mash.
Correct.
Okay, this is a little bit more complicated than we thought. And then
from there, we strain off. We leave all the grain left in the mash tun, but we strain through the bottom all of the liquid.
It goes through the bottom,
mm-hmm.
And it goes through that pipe?
It does.
Okay, I see a pipe down here with...
And there's pumps underneath.
Pumps, so it gets pumped out,
mm-hmm.
And it goes into
our boil kettle.
Okay, another large stainless steel tank, and this is what's called a boil kettle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's it doing there?
It just heats everything up to a boil, and depending on which recipe it is, it might be an hour boil, might be a 2 hour boil. And this is where we add in all of our hops as well.
From the mash, it goes into here. This boils. You add hops. Do you add anything else?
A couple clarifying agents. That's it.
Okay. So that, and then this is becoming what we know as beer.
Correct.
Okay.
Do they call it wort at that point?
Correct. Soon as it leaves the mash tun, it is the wort.
Wort.
W O R T.
Okay. So the hot liquor becomes mash, becomes wort.
Correct.
All right, there you go. Hopefully somebody else understands that. Okay. I have a dumb question. I'm sorry. Based on the grain, based on the hops, the differences in it, can I make lagers versus pilsners versus IPAs? How do I do that?
That's all going to be determined. A lot of it is based on your fermentation temperature.
In here?
Actually, in the fermenters.
Oh, over here.
And the style of yeast. Correct.
And the style of yeast.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, am I right to say IPA is hoppy?
It is very hoppy, correct.
So do you put more hops in there when you make IPA?
Absolutely.
Okay, so when you make IPA, it's really hoppy.
Yep.
And then when you make a pilsner, let's say, it's not that hoppy.
Correct.
Okay.
The Pilsner might get, say, 6 ounces of hops.
Okay.
IPA might get 5 pounds of hops. It's a significant increase with IPAs.
And do you do it by weight?
Correct, yes.
Do you do the grain by weight?
Yes.
So it's like baking?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, you weigh the ingredients and then you add them and then you cook it.
It's like a cross between baking and making tea, yeah.
Okay, I never ever heard that put it that way before. It's like baking and making tea.
Correct.
That's a quote.
Now it goes from here.
See
it goes.
Red hose?
Let's say we're making IPA. We've put 5 pounds of hops. We're making IPA. And then I see this very large red hose, 3-inch hose?
2-inch.
2-inch hose. And then that's going to cook, that's going to wear.
And it all first winds up circulating through this. The hop filter that's usually there is right here that keeps the hops from coming over to the fermenter.
So that's a hops filter.
Correct.
So this is coming through here.
It gets filtered there.
Yes.
Chilled through these heat exchangers.
It gets chilled.
And that'll take it from boiling usually to about 60 degrees for me.
Okay.
And then I can move them over here into the fermenters and then I add yeast and let it do its work.
Okay, so this is where the yeast goes.
Correct.
And if you're making different beers, different amounts of yeast or types of yeast?
Different types of yeast, always the same amount because I'm dealing with the same volumes.
Okay, same volume, same amount of yeast, different types of yeast between stout and...
A lot of the ales we do use the same yeast for.
Okay.
The lager yeast that we have, there are two different types that we use.
Okay.
Those have to be fermented at 58 degrees. So that's why these contraptions up here help keep everything the way it should be.
Okay, those are
glycol chillers.
Glycol
chillers.
Okay, so these are huge. I'm looking at large black cubes, essentially. Is that, say, 31 degrees?
Yeah,
30.1 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yes.
Okay, so, and that's trying to chill what?
At the current moment, that's just chilling this one here, which is the Monroe Bay that I'm kegging today.
So, you're making beer as we speak?
Correct.
Did you add the yeast?
That was weeks ago.
Weeks ago?
I'm kegging it now.
Oh. So how long does it stay in here with the yeast?
24 days for that batch. For the lagers, it's going to be closer to 5 to 7 weeks.
5 to 7 weeks on a lager?
Correct.
And it's shorter for an IPA?
Yes.
I never would have guessed that.
Yep. And stout's even faster.
And stout is even faster. Mm-hmm. That's the opposite of what I thought. Okay, this is... Now, it goes into a chiller. And 24 days. So each one has its own measurements. Goes from one tank to the next. The barley is always the same?
The grain bill does change.
Okay.
Sometimes it's primarily going to be barley. Sometimes there's additions of wheat.
Wheat.
What is it? Roasted barley.
Why would we use... wheat instead of barley?
Depends on the recipe for the beer.
Okay, so it's all beer recipes. Which ones are correct.
Wheat? We have our wheat beers.
Yes.
Most recently, I haven't made one this year yet, but we had the Berry Wheat on tap for quite a while.
That's right.
And the New England IPA also gets a little bit of wheat to help give it some of the body and flavor profile that it gets.
So really, this is recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to add, what we get toasted barley? Stout. We're looking at the chart again. So, I see it goes from the fermenter to the yeast. Oh, so the chart is up here to help everybody.
It is.
Okay.
And it's still not complete, but it's as condensed as we could get it and make it make sense.
Okay, if I know some beers, they has a hint of pumpkin spice or a hint of orange or a hint of lemon. Where does that go?
Various places.
Okay.
For the lemon.
Yep.
Recently I made a saison here and I had flavored it with a little bit of lemon peel. That actually did go into my boil kettle here.
Why?
Just to sanitize it.
Okay.
Get a nice little flavor through it.
Okay. And then this is with the hops.
Correct.
So you put the lemon peel with the hops to get a lemon flavor, essence, right? This lemony.
Yep.
And then it goes into the fermenter.
Correct.
Okay, what about orange?
Orange, that's usually going to be derived from hops or orange peel. Very similar thing. Usually they would go into the boil kettle.
All right, pumpkin spice.
That's going to be another, that is direct pumpkin spice usually that gets added to a boil
kettle. Just pumpkin spice and added in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you add anything in here for flavor? With the mash?
I have not yet. I mean, other than specialty grains.
Specialty grains.
Because some of the specialty grains will provide you some of the coffee notes that you might taste, as opposed to a coffee providing that note.
Okay.
But I haven't put anything in here yet.
So it's really
something in the... will be going in here for additional flavor in the future.
What is that, a surprise?
Yes.
Oh. So this is a. We're here with a secret recipe, not to be divulged at this time.
Correct.
Oh, how exciting things. It is a talk of the town. Everybody's going to be talking about the surprise now. So it's in the wort that you add the flavors.
Pretty much. Anything that the grains that made the wort don't provide.
Okay. So here's the orange peels, the lemon peels, the pumpkin spice, and then it comes over here, and then you have to cool it. And
it ferments for a while. I only, unless it's a lager, they only get cooled right before I keg them. That causes everything solid to settle to the bottom, and I just have clear beer left to pour off after that.
I see. But what about lager?
Lager, those do stay chilled all the time because of the lower fermentation temperature.
It's about the temperature tolerance of the yeast that's being used.
Okay, so the yeast is fragile.
Yes.
Oh, very fragile yeast for lager.
All yeast, pretty much.
Oh, I see.
Now, they have their desired temperature ranges that are usually about 6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Is this a fermenter?
It is.
And that one is? And this one is? And that one is?
Yep.
Can you make... Are you telling me that you can take this hose, looks like a fire hose, so to speak. You connect them, you run them, and so you could make a lager, run it into here, keep it chilled. That's 5 to 6 weeks. You could take your hose, run it to this one. That's a stout. Let that sit. Make an IPA here. Let it sit. Make a whatever here. So you can make 4 beers at a time.
Correct.
Hey, I figured that out.
Probably the one thing we didn't touch on yet, which is why he moved this filter over here, is dry hopping.
Okay, what is dry hopping?
Dry hopping, it's something that traditionally only happens with IPAs. There are a couple random recipes out there that might call for it. But it's once the fermentation of the beer has completed, so the yeast's no longer active making alcohol, then we do a flavor hop, pretty much, where I sanitize everything, drop some fresh hops into it, and let those sit for anywhere from 2 to 5 days.
The hops go in here with any flavors.
Correct.
To make the wort, but you'll add extra hops to make it extra hoppy.
Correct. For IPAs primarily.
For IPAs. People love IPAs.
Correct.
I don't. Okay, so, and then when you run it off, that is the filter to keep the hops out of the beer.
Correct.
I see. So you have these filters.
That way nobody has hops in their glasses.
All right. So you can make 4 beers, 2 chillers, and I see multiple lines coming off the chillers. So I see that seems to be chilling that. And do you have to chill all of these?
I've never had to chill all of them at once, but 3 at a time I've had to.
And those machines do it.
Yep.
Okay. And these are, you're filling kegs?
I am.
Why is this one... I'm looking at these steel tanks. This one's different because it has an opening in the bottom.
Because this is where the mash is made, and this is where all the grains get mixed into the water, once all that water's drained off, we need a way to get the grains out of here.
Oh, so that's an access.
It is.
Okay, so you open the door and
so
you start scooping.
We got a giant metal scoop, and we scoop it into tubs, plastic tubs. I've taken some of our spent grains to the community garden. I've had farmers that pick it up. For various things. It makes great compost.
So we recycle and reuse.
I've fed it to goats.
Goats will eat anything.
Yes, they will. Okay. It's like a special treat for them.
It's a special treat.
Yep.
All right. Okay, this is how we make beer. We get recipes, and then we buy tons of ingredients. I read somewhere that hops is going through the roof. Is that true?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Some people are complaining the price of hops. Have you heard about this?
We haven't seen a big jump in our supply prices. Now, whether that's because they have inventory and, you know, maybe any tariffs haven't hit yet, I'm really don't have a lot of insight into the supplier situations.
Okay.
But we haven't seen a big price jump in our inputs.
Okay, so no price jumps. Everything's pretty steady so far, and you're making beer. Amazing.
And it should be said, and this was a surprise to me, but at least half of brewing is cleaning and sanitizing, keeping bacteria out of the process. So when these tanks aren't full with beer, a lot of times they're full with cleaning chemicals.
So you're cleaning, constantly cleaning, scooping, sanitizing. Does the health department come here?
No, we're regulated in the brew house by the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
And they come here?
They do occasional inspections.
Okay. Do they announce the inspections?
I haven't actually had one yet since Jen and I took over, but I believe they tell us they're coming. But regardless of that, we don't keep this place clean because an inspector's coming.
Right, right. Of course.
We keep it clean so our beer doesn't get skunked.
Yeah. Because you'll lose your reputation in the community.
Yeah. And losing a big batch of beer, these are big tanks and a lot of ingredients going in. So it's expensive.
So it's expensive. You lose money.
Thomas hasn't lost a batch yet.
So far.
Is it common for a brewer to lose a batch once in a while?
I think so.
It's not unheard of.
It's not unheard of. Okay. Yeah, I can imagine that. If it's baking, you can ruin a cake. If it's making tea, you can ruin tea.
Oh, there's at least a half dozen things that could go wrong.
Yeah, it seems like any type of weight would go wrong, right?
You know, it's summertime and you don't have good temperature control.
Right. 100 degrees outside, humidity.
Summer is pretty difficult in the brew house here. You have to have really fine-tuned HVAC going to keep the ambient temperature in the room low. We've got the glycol chillers and the loops that you've been looking at.
I'm looking at windows, and they're not double-pane windows. There's not a lot of insulation here.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of challenges and a lot that can go wrong. So I was pretty surprised learning about brewing just how much can go wrong.
Is it harder to brew and keep everything cold at 100 degrees, 98% humidity on those crazy August days or July days, sometimes we have them? Or is it harder to brew when it's 20 degrees outside and there's a cold wind?
It's much easier to brew when it's 20 degrees outside than it is 100 degrees outside.
Okay, it's because you have to cool it.
Correct.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
One of my heat exchangers also operates off of tap water or groundwater.
Yes.
So when the groundwater, hops up to, I think we saw 82 degrees at the height of this summer. It gets really hard to cool beer with that.
The water coming out of the tap was 82 degrees.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
We test our water regularly also.
There's gauges everywhere. I'm looking at gauges and switches. I'm looking at, it's all mechanical. There's not an electronic thing here.
There's a handful of electronic things here, but it's all just the heating elements.
Okay.
Which are stationed around the hot liquor tank and the boil kettle.
Okay, this is complicated, but it makes sense to me. We have, if we're walking in, we have the hot liquor, the mash, the wort on the left side. On the right side, we have four fermentation tanks, and you're making a beer as we speak. Oh my gosh, okay, you just picked off the lid. This is the
mash tun, and I just wanted to show you the false bottom in there. So that's what
I see it.
That's what keeps the grains held in here and stops them from going over to the boil kettle.
Oh, I see it. So that's ready to go.
Yep. Well, yes.
Well, that's probably cleaner. Yeah, that's a cleaning solution.
It's being soaked right now and sanitized.
Yeah. Okay. So before we brew and before we put all of the wort and stuff through these tanks, you don't want it just sitting empty and have bacteria potentially growing. So we keep them full with cleaning chemicals until, food safe cleaning chemicals, until then we pump those out. Then we pump the wort in.
Wow. Okay. When's the next batch of beer you're going to make?
Friday.
So you're making beer constantly?
Constantly.
What are you making Friday?
Friday, I'm going to be making sour stout.
A stout?
Mm-hmm.
So this will be toasted grains?
There will be some toasted grains in there.
Are you going to
It'll amaze you how little... A little goes a long way with the stout.
Really?
With the darker specialty grains.
I would think it's just the opposite. I would think that the stouts take forever, Okay, so toasted grains here. Are you going to add coffee here? Some of the stouts have chocolate notes.
And this one will too.
Do you add chocolate?
No. It all comes from the specialty grains.
Specialty grains then.
Mm-hmm.
Special order grains.
Just like with the New England IPA or the Saison, we're using a hop that has a lemony flavor to it.
I see.
So sometimes those flavors aren't coming from additives. They're coming from the grain they're coming from the hops.
It seems to me that if you grow to grow your own hops, it would be something, no?
It would be an experiment. I don't know if you've ever seen the farms, but they run poles up about 30 feet and let them grow around vines. And it's a whole special machine to harvest them.
Oh my gosh, okay, never mind. Okay, all right.
We do have some planted at the community garden.
Oh, you do? Hops over the community garden?
Yep.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I don't think we've ever harvested from there. It was just more of a gesture.
Oh, that's funny.
But if you ever look in the back of the community garden,
sure,
you'll see those vines.
We got hops growing up a pole and at the community garden in Colonial Beach.
Yes, there's a little trellis back there. We didn't go high with
it. Oh, that's great. Okay, so where did the old bar stop?
In a kegerator.
Okay, and then how far did the old store go? The old bar. Did it go back here?
Right here.
Oh, right there. So what was this before you acquired it?
This space here has always been fermenter tanks and the brew equipment. Yep.
Okay. All right, let's go this way.
So customers back then would come in and they're looking right at the tanks that the beer's being brewed in.
Okay. And then last, I see a, this is going to be a, I'm not going to open that up. That's going to be a complex circuit panel for all of these things.
Yep. And mainly this panel runs the heating elements.
All of our heating elements.
Yeah. The coolers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's on the.
Not to these.
No.
This only works for this, the brew house side of things. The brewing side, not the fermentation side.
Okay, so you're happily making beer. What's your utility price?
Oh.
Through the roof, right?
It depends on the month. Actually, the weather affects our utility bills, I think, more than how much we're brewing.
Okay. I see a lot of utility here.
There is a lot of heating that happens on brew day.
Yeah, a lot of heating here, a lot of cooling there.
Yep.
Okay, all right. I don't admire that. Okay. All right. Thank you again for showing us how to make beer.
No problem.
Okay, where are we going now?
So now we're walking through the back of the brew house into,
okay, we're into the kitchen.
What is now the kitchen.
Okay, this
what
is clean.
It used to be primarily storage space.
All right.
With all that. The piles of grain and stuff that we saw back there were in here.
We're in here. So this is a storage room.
Yep.
Okay, so now you turn it into a kitchen.
Now we turn it into a kitchen.
It doesn't look like it's operating. It's that clean.
We keep our kitchen very clean. We have an advantage that it's very small.
It is small, but maybe that's why you keep it that clean, right? You can.
Yep. This kitchen is designed for, one chef/bartender to be able to prepare meals. Everything's pretty close. We've had two or three people working back here, but really one person can run the kitchen, prepare the food.
Okay, so I see magnets holding up recipes.
Yep, we call those build sheets.
These are build sheets, and then so I see Mediterranean flatbread, I see roasted red pepper flatbread. So this is a Mediterranean restaurant.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. So this is going to teach everybody how to do it. We have Greek chicken flatbread. So yeah, it looks like you have flatbreads. Do you have sandwiches?
We do have sandwiches. We have...
Greek salad. That's good.
Yeah. We have pita wraps. We have a gyro pita wrap and a Greek chicken pita wrap.
Sure.
Those build sheets are probably towards the back here because they're pretty... There are some of our simplest things and we all know how to make them. We don't really need to refer much.
Okay. So this is... This is where you prep the food, get the food ready, cook the food, and then psh, off it goes.
Yep, that's right. And you see over there, there's another, you might recognize that black box. That's another glycol chiller. So that's...
Did you buy them on discount? a bulk buy?
I wish.
And what's this chilling?
So that is chilling. We have what's called a long draw system. We had that installed last year. So before last year, if you came in here, your beer was coming from kegs that are inside of a kegerator, which is basically a refrigerator.
Sure.
That has a CO2 tank hooked up to it.
So now, but now you're doing this.
Now we have a long draw system, so the kegs are tapped in the cold box where the kegs are stored. We have a whole tap system, but that beer has to get piped through lines inside here and to our tap wall. So in order to do that, we have to have a glycol loop embedded inside that line to chill the beer the whole way. Okay. And again, it's about bacteria. It's about...
Okay, so we're in the kitchen, Mediterranean menu, but you can't get away from the beer.
You can't get away from the beer. And you'll see there's two tanks, two large tanks in front of us.
Sure.
One is CO2 and one is nitrogen. So that's part of this tap system advance for us, was that it's a blended gas system.
And I know sometimes you do add nitrogen to stouts.
Right. So, you know, people will say that's a nitro tap, but actually even our ales and lagers have 30% nitrogen, 70% CO2.
Oh, that's great.
It's because of the length of the lines. When you have a long line like that, if it's just CO2, the beer will start to absorb it and it'll get overcarbonated.
Okay, so we're probably getting a lot of hum on the microphone.
Yeah.
Being a radio show, we'll probably move away from that. Okay, so if this was the old building, what was this?
So before we took this over, I believe it was a hair salon.
The history of Colonial Beach. This was a hair salon, you think?
Yep.
And then they moved or...
They moved on. We took over the lease for this portion of the building. We call this the parlor.
Okay, so in the parlor, and now I'm looking at 18 taps.
16.
16 taps. Okay, I can't count. So 16 taps. Can you make 16 different beers and have them all running, or?
We can. Now, these two, the first two, you notice they look a little different. Those are stout taps. So those are at a different percentage of a gas blend.
Yes.
So if we have two so-called nitro brews on tap, they would be
okay,
on
that
two.
Makes sense.
Then we have 14 at the regular 70-30 mix.
Okay. Okay. And so the bar is here. So when you acquired this, the hair salon, you decided to put the bar here now?
No, not then. It was actually just last year when Jen and I took over. This bar was still back there in the brew
still
house.
Back it's still back in the alley almost.
It was very tight back
very
there
tight.
For the brewer to work.
Oh, this is exciting.
And this is a beautiful bar. It was designed and built by Don Stiles, local craftsman. And Don actually helped me when I told him, hey, I want to move your bar.
Yeah, right.
He said, I don't want you to mess that up, so I'm going to come help you.
Right.
So he helped me take it apart and pull it in here, put it back together.
But this is a another reason besides the brewery. You've won awards in the past, and do you plan on competing with your beers in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're members of the Virginia Craft Brewers Guild.
Whoa.
We actually just went to a competition and didn't win anything this year, but it's, you know, we're just getting back in the game of competitiveness like that. So
okay.
Thomas and I have some ideas for next year's competition.
Well, good luck on that, right?
Thank you.
Okay, so part of the talk of the town, our general manager, station manager, Ted Tate, was with you guys in Buzz. About a 12-minute interview when this opened, when you joined forces.
Yes.
Tell me about how that happened.
So February 2024, Jen and I are taking over. I'm looking at, you know, the finances here and just realizing, and I think any small business owner in Colonial Beach will agree, the toughest thing here is the seasonal nature of business.
Yeah, I understand that actually firsthand.
Some businesses close for a few months. Some, we trim our hours. Some close different days of the week in the winter. But I had to figure out how to get us through the winter. And in the winter, we're only open 4 hours on most days during the week, 5 to 9 p.m. So I'm looking at this building and the rent and utilities we're paying. And I thought, well, if we could get someone else to use the space in the mornings when we're not here. And so I went to Pam and Donna from Colonial Buzz and proposed that we merge our operations into this this building, and that has been a great win for both of us.
Okay, so and you talked about that with Ted before.
Yep.
This is I'm looking at, I guess, part of Buzz because this is a cappuccino maker.
Right, that's an espresso machine.
Oh, it's an espresso machine. Okay, so that's an espresso machine. I see some of the Buzz items here, and then the bartenders do, and then they charge, and then the customers can sit there at the bar. And then if we go over here, Oh, okay. So this is a bathroom.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a full bath right there. Oh, and then you have an outside sink.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, an extra hand wash sink.
And okay, so an exterior sink. That's nice. And then we come in here. What was it? A hair salon. Interesting. Then we have a mini split air conditioner. Two of them. Okay, wow. It's a high ceiling. Okay. So.
And actually, back in the day, when this was a, you know, a gas station, a car shop, I believe this was the paint shop for the high school Votech.
Oh my gosh.
And I only know that because I've heard stories they had a fire in here.
Oh my gosh.
So you can see the blackened bricks.
I do.
Up there on the high side, and you can see some of these beams are warped.
I do.
And that's from heat. That was the original roof supports.
Oh my.
So after the fire, they built the roof up higher, essentially.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. Okay, I see the old fire. Who knew? If these walls could talk.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is where everybody can sit. You have tables and chairs. I think a part of the talk of the town is literally a talk of the town. I came in here to get a cappuccino one day just to try out the new Buzz location. And in here, town council member was here. You had the people involved with the Artist Guild, CB Creative.
A lot of people come in the coffee
BAM.
Shop for meetings.
They come in here for meetings. I think ideas are being hatched here.
Yeah.
Regarding the town, regarding nonprofits. We got Osprey Foundation, BAM, all of these things. You see these people here. This is the meeting place of VIPs.
Yep. And when I look at the evolution over the last couple of years, what's interesting is that when we were just a craft brewery, you think about it, not only are you only drawing beer drinkers in, but people that are willing to pay, you know, $6 for a pint of beer, craft beer drinkers. That's a very small slice of a population.
Yes, it is.
And I needed more revenue. So now we have food. Now we're serving wine and cider. Now we have a coffee shop in the morning, and everyone literally is my customer. Anyone could potentially be. I have people who don't drink, who spend quite a bit of time in here in the coffee shop, or who come in to get food.
And so you have water, you have sodas?
Yes.
For kids and stuff like this? And
yeah, we do want to expand some of our non-alcoholic drinks. We started carrying non-alcoholic beers.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yep. There's a lot of folks that you know, still want that taste of beer without the alcohol.
And recently you added wine to the menu.
Yep, that's right. In Memorial Day weekend, we started serving wine.
And so all the reds, the whites, the blushes, anybody can get a glass of wine now.
Yep, that's right.
I came in here one day and I couldn't believe it was a group of VIPs. I felt out of place.
Yeah.
I said, what is this place? I literally thought it was a meeting. If this was a hair salon, before that it was Auto Body or Votech that caught fire.
Yeah.
What we're about to go into this area. What was this?
So we call this room the Annex because
okay.
It was our most recent acquisition that was annexed from the previous tenants.
Okay. And when did you do that?
Probably
a couple years ago.
2022, 2023.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was previously...
I think it was a thrift store.
A thrift store? Wow. Did they move?
Or a consignment shop or something.
Oh.
No, they got in some legal trouble. They had leased this, and they also leased for several years the restaurant space, but never opened a restaurant.
And that's now Sunflower?
Yes.
Okay.
So Jen painted this mural here.
Oh, so Jen painted that?
She did.
That's talent.
Yep. We set up a projector, and she did a little bit of some grid lines on there. And
okay.
Yeah, she's very creative. So she had the idea, got this image together, we projected it, and she basically did a kind of a paint by numbers a little bit.
Okay, so I'm in a very large room. Looks like a dog leg. I see tables, chairs, stand-up tables. I think they call them belly bars or something. Here's another stand-up. It's kind of a with stools.
Yeah, the furniture is kind of a mishmash, and we certainly have plans to, you know, start replacing some of this stuff. A lot of our older folks in town don't like sitting at high tops, so I think we're going to get rid of some of those and get more low seating in. But yeah, it's all a work in progress, but you see these nice big curtains on the windows.
Okay, okay, so what we're looking at now, kind of a large dog leg. We've got several tables. Tables and chairs. We got huge windows. Those drapes, that has to be custom made.
Yes. They were ordered and they were not cheap.
I just put window coverings in my house. I know. It's a criminal enterprise. Okay, so huge gold drapes. Why? Unbelievably huge gold drapes. This looks like a theater.
Yeah,
curtain.
Well, you know, these windows are large, and as you pointed out in the brew house, they're not like double pane, you know. So the curtains both help with climate control. They help with lighting. At times, we want to minimize the sunlight coming in here, and also for acoustics, because we have music in here at least once a week.
I know that. The band usually sets up in this corner.
Yep, right in front of this window.
And I could not believe last summer. This is a credit to you. That people should have screamed this from the rooftops. Muse was here, extraordinarily famous band, New Jersey, New York. Three guys. They dress in white. They do cover songs, but from the 80s. They did Depeche Mode, Squeeze, The Cure.
Yep, the Wavos.
And they were here.
Yep.
And I was here. My girlfriend and I were here. And we had the best time. Yep. That was a great band.
Yep, we had them last month as well. We have them in once a year.
The three old guys dressed in all white.
Yep, and in fact, Debbie Stakunas has some prints up here.
Yes.
From pictures that she took of them.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh. Okay, I don't know how the heck you got those guys, but there's a lot of great music in
there. They're expensive, and that's why we only get them once a year.
Yeah,
but it's kind of our, you know, I try to get, you know, it started last year because Jen said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I want to dance my ass off. I want the Wavos. I want to bring the Wavos to Colonial Beach.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm sorry. I said Muse. I misspoke. Okay. The Wavos. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay. Ceiling fans, drop lighting. Okay. Oh, you have some merch here. You're selling the Colonial Beach Brewery t-shirts. How much is a t-shirt?
$26.
Oh, that's kind of pricey.
Everything's gone up.
Okay. Am I looking at a second bathroom?
Yes.
That
is our ADA accessible bathroom.
So you have two bathrooms.
Yes.
One ADA accessible.
The other one, because of the, you know, the drop and the ramp over there, isn't considered. And also, I think that doorway is a bit narrower. But this is our ADA bathroom.
Okay.
I also want to draw your attention to all the art on the walls.
Yeah. Is this part of the art walk?
Yes, we are on the art walk. And just in general, we invite artists to come in and hang their art here to put it up for sale. We don't take any commissions. It's, you know, to us, it's just a way to liven up the space and to give artists an opportunity to
support the artists,
yep.
CB Creative, all of it. Art walk,
That's right.
Okay, that is news. As we wind this down, you've been here a long time. Your family is from here. You're plugged in. What's one thing that you would like to see in Colonial Beach that we don't have right now?
You know, this is a silly thing. Like, I think most people that I've heard around here would say something medical related, a doctor, a dentist, and I would chime in on that. But something that's just annoying to me is that I have to drive 20 minutes to mail a package.
You can go to the post office.
You can go to the post office, but if I'm returning something from Amazon, it has to go UPS, right? So I have to drive to King George for that. We don't have a package store, like a mailbox store.
That would have UPS, FedEx.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running a business that involves shipping, you might do USPS, but a lot of times you're using other services and they're just not represented here other than drop boxes.
So you want to see FedEx office, you want to see a UPS office, one of those. They have boxes, they have peanuts.
It's just a business service.
Business service.
Pretty basic business service that we don't have.
International shipping.
I've been kind of surprised nobody thought they could make money on that.
Yeah, no kidding. I like that idea.
But, it, you know, just little things, when, you know, the Northern Neck, we don't have a lot of big box stores. You don't always have everything you need close by. And that's just a fact of life.
That's a fact of life. Small town.
It's a price we're all willing to pay to live in paradise.
That's right. No, I agree. Okay. So where do you see, as a business owner, as a resident, you're plugged in into this community, where do you see Colonial Beach in 3 to 5 years?
My biggest hope is that we continue to build more housing. Affordable housing, all kinds of housing, so that we have more year-round residents to support year-round businesses.
Year-round housing, year-round residents.
Yep.
And you provide a lot of jobs here.
Yep. We have 10 people on our payroll right now.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, talk of the town. I can't believe that the history here. Again, for the third time, I'm saying this. If these walls could talk, right?
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. How it happened over the years from your parents down. It must be meaningful to you to run this place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's heartfelt.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I can tell.
We do a lot of work with, you know, nonprofit organizations, raising money for different things. And as we said, just so many people come here to meet and congregate.
And thank you for showing me how to make beer. I never imagined anything like hot liquor. I've heard of mash. I didn't know what it was. Wort, I never heard of it. So here we go. We learned a lot today and what it takes to make all these beers. My gosh, the story here. But there is a buzz about the buzz. And there's a group of VIPs that come here every morning. It is a great group of people, including 12-year-old Aiden. Do you know him?
Yes, I know. The young entrepreneur.
The young entrepreneur. So I did a porch talk with him. Okay, it was fantastic. So listen for that on WWER. Anyway, Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate this. What is your favorite radio station?
WWER 88.1 FM.
Thank you.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.